The psalmist writes, "The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down." Let us come to God in prayer, confessing our sins of what we have done and what we have left undone, those places which we are separated from God. Let us pray first in silence and then confess together using the prayer in our bulletin. Let us pray. Most gracious and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another that time after time we have entered your presence with countless prayers, but with hearts that have been closed to your grace. We have lifted our hands to you in praise, but our feet have still led us astray. We have rehearsed your commandments, but have refused to see your face in the needs of our neighbor. We pray, Lord, that you forgive our lack of faith and pardon our acts of injustice. Grant us the healing that comes from your presence and the cleansing of your all-powerful word through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, "Come and Fill Our Hearts," number 2157 in the small hymnal. We will sing it twice through. Hear the good news. God has forgiven each one of us and calls us to take our parts in the drama of redeeming love. Let us live as we so believe this good news. Amen. Thank you.
And now we come to the part of the worship service which happens to be my favorite part of worship, where we offer up our prayers for one another and for our world. And I wanted to start this morning by giving thanks. Thanks, actually, that we have Chris Foster. In this time of change and challenge, what a delightful thing that God has provided this capable leader. And so, prayers of thanksgiving for Chris and her gifts in this time of change. So what else would we share together this morning? All right, now I get to run. Let's see how fast I can do this. I don't have quite as long legs, as you know.
Hi. I wanted to pray for the family. I was watching the news this morning, and I shouldn't watch the news because it's so dreadful. But I was reading the bottom, and there was this family in Mexico. There was four families in Mexico. Their children were walking to school, and they were missing, and they found them in shallow graves later that afternoon, and it really struck me, and it's giving me goosebumps just thinking about it, that, you know, all children are, you know, in danger at some point in time, and doing the house group with, it makes me really think about what children struggle with, and all the things that they have to be careful about. And also, I just want to pray for those families, because I couldn't even imagine going through something like that. Couldn't even imagine. I wanted to lift up prayers for my grandson, Matthew. We've realized that he's been having problems with his hearing, and we wasn't catching on to it because he has older siblings, but they're feeling that he has, because he doesn't speak, and he's almost two, and he doesn't speak at all. So I'm just, you know, lift up his, you know, prayers for him and my daughter, because she's struggling with feeling like she abandoned him to work. And now that she's seeing things in a different perspective, you know, she wants to be, you know, she wanted everybody to pray for her and her family. Thank you.
Prayers for Melinda's grandson, Matthew, his mother, and for all children, that they might not suffer.
I'd like continued prayers for my mom, Donna, who actually, she went home. She was released from the hospital on Monday, I think. And she actually went to my dad and my stepmother's house to recuperate, which is really just a wonderful joy. We never thought that 22 years ago that we would be in this place, but it's just a wonderful thing that families can reconcile and put aside their differences and just take care of each other. And so it was. I never thought that we would be there 22 years ago, but thank God that we are. And for continued healing for my mom.
Healing of people and healing of families. Thank you, Laurie. Where else are we?
Many of you know that a number of people in this church work with a family from Burundi in tutoring their children mostly, but we also very much involved in their life and concerns, the Natandrai family from Burundi. Jeanette, the mother, her father died this earlier in this month in Burundi, and they are having a Memorial Mass at St. Michael's Church on Saturday afternoon at 2:30, and they've invited us to be part of that support and religious experience, but also invited us back to their home afterwards. We'd like to show that kind of solidarity in this part of their life, not just the tutoring of their boys. So if there are people who would like to join in that, if you'd speak to me or to Milton Liu or to Pastor Chris, we could put that together. That's Saturday, May 5th.
So prayers for Jeanette and her family and for our connection to them. Joe.
just ask for your prayers this week. Lynn has a research trip in London, and we all, thanks to Air Miles and the fact that his brother lives in London, are getting to tag along. So we won't be here next week because Lynn will be in archives. So pray for safe travels, productive research for him, and a good time for the kids and I as we explore the many free museums in London.
Traveling mercies for the Fisher family. Where else are we? Yeah.
I just wanted to say thank you. Linda and Adam are back from Boston, and Adam is recuperating nicely. And I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for your love and support and prayers. I've only been a part of this congregation for only a few months now, but you've made me feel like I've been a member of this family for years. And so on their behalf, I say thank you, and thank you for being so welcoming to me.
I just like ongoing prayers for my niece Rebecca in the bone marrow transplant. Last week or so, the family's getting a bit, and Rebecca are getting a bit weary of the process and a little tired with time away from siblings and other things. So just continued prayers for them and healing. Thank you.
You know, my concern and my prayer is always for those friends of ours downstairs that meet in the 15 meetings during the week where they struggle with addictions of various kinds. And I just ask you to continue to pray for people that are struggling with their recovery, that they can be strong, and that they know that you know, their spiritual family is up here supporting them.
Thanks, Sally.
I'd like continued prayers for Walter. He's experiencing some difficulties right now, which might involve his kidneys, and we don't know yet, so I'd like some prayers for him.
Continuing prayers for Walter.
I would like to ask for prayers for the students at Classical because there's a lot of testing this week.
For the students at Classical and testing for all students. Where else are we? Okay. Back down this way.
Do I have to press anything? She's not going to steal my thunder. On behalf of Adam and myself, we would like to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Really appreciate everybody praying for us and what we've done for us.
And he rocked it.
Where else are we this morning?
You may remember that Judy and Tom Ward were part of our church for quite a while. Judy has been battling a very critical illness, and she had further surgery this week and is in intensive care, and we offer our prayers on their behalf and for their entire family.
Let us pray. You, O God, are holy, shepherd of the sheep, savior of all your world. We pray for a world hurting, in need of hope, for justice to roll down like rivers, for peace as an everlasting stream. We pray for this, for our world this day, for our wider church, for those in the Christ is Life congregation and their pastor Paolo as they have their last worship service together today and they move in some new directions. Bless them and our connections to them as community and individuals as they seek to faithfully follow you with courage and wisdom. We pray for the families in Mexico and for the safety of all the world's children raised in our attention this morning. We pray for Lynn and the Fisher household in their travels to London and the adventures that await. for students in our schools and throughout this city, and particularly at Classical and testing this week. We give thanks, O God, for your blessings, for the joys of our lives together and as individuals, for the celebration we had this past week, for your care for Dave, Lisa, and Abigail, and all of us in this time of transition. Bless us that all that we do might follow where you alone would lead us. We give thanks, O God, for unexpected joys of reconciliation, for the healing for Donna, and the opportunity that she has to recuperate in the wider family. We thank you for your presence so evident there, for your presence with Adam and Linda and bringing them to us here in person to share that. We ask your continued blessing upon them as they heal and as they grow stronger day by day. We lift our prayers this day to all who are in transition in these days, for our church community, for those making new life out of the pain and struggle of addiction, for those who are homeless, for those who face illness and sometimes homelessness as well. We pray for all of those who are named and unnamed in this time, awaiting news of medical testing. For Melinda's grandson, Matthew, and Amy, his mother, in the development of this hearing and speech issue. We pray, O Lord, for healing for your people in body, mind, and spirit, in our city, for the Tarwo and Dorley families in their grief this week. We pray your strength for Tom and Judy Ward in these weeks of testing and in this week's surgery. We give thanks for your healing power to help the doctors finally work with what is going on, but we pray for the long road ahead for them. We pray for Jeanette's family and the loss of her father in Burundi, and for our ability to surround them in presence through this memorial mass this week. We pray for Rebecca as she continues to recover from her bone marrow transplant, for the separations and the weariness of that challenge, for Walter and his continuing challenges. We pray, O Lord, for the ministry of this congregation in meeting to go forth in faith, in serving as deacons and house group leaders and leaders of all kind, in joining together in joy and fellowship, in prayer and in care. You are the God of all of life, and we praise your name as we gather together. Help us to live always as your disciples, in faith, to trust in love, freely sharing the gifts you have so richly given, as we live in the power of the one who came to earth, who teaches us daily to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite all the boys and girls to join me up front. Hello, hello. How are you this morning? Are you good? Are you good? You were the first one here? Yeah. I was the first one here. Okay, I'm going to sit. Excuse me. Right down here. Excuse me, Josie. Right over. I want you all to be able to see. I'm going to put this book right here on the floor. Can everybody see the pictures? I am going to read you some words that might be familiar. I hope they are. I think the people behind us know the words, but they won't know the pictures, so you're going to help me tell the story of the pictures. This is called Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. What do you see? What's happening?
Looks like somebody is yawning.
They're waking up in the morning. I shall not be in want. What's happening here?
I
What are they doing?
Somebody's cooking.
They're eating breakfast and cooking. Yep, and here they are headed off, I think, to school. They have on backpacks. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Where are they? What is that? It's a park, a city park. How about that? He leads me beside quiet waters. What's here? A puddle. Where is it? Is it in the countryside? It's in the middle of the road. Mm-hmm. And who's this? Do you know who this is? Jesus. And does he look like a shepherd?
Yeah.
He sure does. That's a church window right there. He restores my soul. Are they doing things that are sad? What are they doing? Things that are fun, cartwheels and jumping. Yeah. And now where are they? They're at school, and they're getting hugs from their teacher. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Is that a crazy line? No, it's not. It's kind of a straight line, isn't it? Uh-huh. Now they're coming out. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does that look like? It's a road, but is it a sunny road? Does it look a little scary? Maybe yes, maybe not. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What's happening here? They're crossing the road with a crossing guard. Yep. And who are they with there? Do you know who that might be? And they're walking hand in hand with their grandpa. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So on the inside, they're having dinner, right? And on the outside, this dog, does he look friendly?
No.
Not so much. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. What's the grandma doing? Helping him have a bath, yeah. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And what's that a picture of? Jesus and the children, and they're dreaming it. See how that's right above their beds? Yep, forever. And can you help me say the end of that, which is?
Amen.
Forever, amen, amen. And now you get to go to your Sunday school classes, right, downstairs, okay?
The middle school and high school classes are meeting together upstairs this week, and the rest of you are excused to your classes, if you're children and teachers.
Both of our scriptures this morning are from the New Testament, and the page numbers are noted in the bulletin, and they are also projected. The first is from Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 5, which follows from last week's reading. Peter had healed a crippled man, and following that, he and John were both arrested and imprisoned for preaching about the resurrection. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. The next reading is from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. Hear these familiar words of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
I have to say, that it is always good to be here in your midst. I've been absent a lot, but my husband, Bob, is often here. Maybe you know him. I know he did escape upstairs this morning. See how he is? I'm preaching. He's with the kids. As many of you know, my husband's name is Bob. Some years ago, he decided that this name had made him what he is: predictable, reliable, unexciting, and probably boring. He lamented the name and said that if only his mother had named him Roberto or Carmelo, that his life would have been different. He would have been dashing and exciting. Everything would have changed. The name Bob, he explains to me on a regular basis, is the same forwards and backwards. He's just plain old Bob, and he's claimed to be ordinary ever since that day. But a couple of weeks ago, something very interesting happened. Our grandson was born, our first grandson. A very special child indeed. And our daughter, that boy's mama, named him Bobby. When we were leaving the hospital, I asked Bob how he felt about that. He said, and I quote, "It's a little odd." He had never expected that anybody, especially somebody important, would be named after him. To tell you the truth, Bob feels a little bit differently about his name right now. Somehow, today, it's an honor to be Bob. Steady, constant, reliable Bob. Isn't it interesting? It's all in the name. Please pray with me. Oh God, you are the one who is with us always, in whose name we pray and preach. Open our eyes to see your blessings. Open our ears to hear you. Open our hearts to receive the word that you would give us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Dan explained a little bit, this week's reading from Acts is part of a lengthy drama. We heard a little bit of it last week, but I'm thinking that you might not be particularly familiar with this text, and so I'm going to fill you in, give you some backstory. The second chapter of Acts tells us that the disciples were locked in an upstairs room waiting. In that place, they had a powerful experience. The Holy Spirit descended on them, enabling them to speak in ways that they never had before. Peter, the disciple who had denied Jesus three times, was empowered by that Spirit and found his voice. Peter then preached, witnessing to the power of the resurrection with startling results. Acts 2 reports that many people welcomed his message, were baptized, and then devoted themselves to fellowship, breaking bread together, and praying. This, my friends, is a story about church growth. The narrative continues through Acts 3, and that's a portion of which we read last week. The primary speaking actor in this drama is Peter. But this time there's a twist. Peter's words have been preceded by an act of healing. You see, he and his colleague John, while on the way to the temple to pray, had encountered a man who had been lame from birth. The man asked them for alms. Peter responded by healing the man, saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." The lame man was healed and followed Peter and John into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. The bystanders recognized this man and were astounded by his miraculous healing. Seeing the response of that gathered crowd, Peter seized an opportunity, and he witnessed to the power of the resurrection. His inspired speech caused a ruckus in the temple. The problem was, people paid attention to him. Luke tells us that once again, the result of Peter's preaching was belief and conversion. The temple leaders, the priests, the captain, the Sadducees, were what the NRSV translates as much annoyed. Other translators say exasperated. They had believed that by eliminating Jesus, they would be silencing this new movement within their church. As they listened to Peter and saw the results of his preaching, the temple leaders realized that this was not the case. So they arrested Peter and John and brought them before the church council, desperately trying to find a way to end the insurgency. Today's reading is from the fourth chapter of Acts, and it continues this drama. Now, Peter and John are standing in front of the council, the temple leadership. The question that they are asked is very important. By what power or by what name did you do this? In other words, where did your power to heal come from? In the ancient Near East, knowing a god's name allowed human beings to call on that god's power for their own use. At the time that Peter was preaching, a vast number of names, those of Greek gods, Roman gods, and even those of some Roman emperors, were believed to have healing power. But for the people of Israel, there was only one god, one source of power. Peter's claim was a significant challenge to the faith belief of the temple faithful Jews. There's power in a name. Peter knew that. He had been a humble fisherman named Simon until he was called and claimed and renamed by Jesus. According to John's gospel, Jesus had looked at this fisherman and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Peter's new name in Aramaic, Kepha, in Greek, Petra, means rock. According to Matthew's gospel, Peter was the rock on which Jesus would found his church. Names are important. They connect us to our families and often to our heritage. In some ways, they define who we are. When I named my children, I chose very carefully. I wanted to have names that would say something about who I understood them to be. Catherine, which means pure. Margaret, which means pearl. David, which means beloved. Names also have power. Madison Avenue certainly knows that. The founders of Nike named their company after Nike, the Greek goddess of victory. Now, I suspect that when you hear the name or you see that famous Nike swoosh, you don't think of just sneakers or t-shirts or hats or anything that Nike sells. Instead, you probably think of the winners who have worn the products. Am I right? Carl Lewis, Serena Williams, Tiger Woods. Anybody know the big name? Michael Jordan. That's right. Names often call a specific image to mind. So I want you to kind of play a game with me here. If I say McDonald's, what do you think of? Yes? Okay, here's another one. What about Hershey's? Yeah, there you go. Red Sox. Baseball? Yeah, all right. What about Mercedes? Anybody have a reaction? What's that? A car, specifically that car, the one that has that logo on it, right? How about Mac? What do you think of? Okay, so I gotta be honest, when I said this first, I thought truck. Bob said, oh no, right? Of course, I changed my image just for him. What about Google? What do you think of? Search engine. That one? Those colors, right? Right. So what do you think of when I say Dana Farber? Cancer, Mayo Clinic, healing. We associate both of those last two names with healing. These are places that people go to get the best possible medical care. Today's story is about healing, and the question raised is, in whose name has healing taken place? What the religious authorities are questioning is, what's the source of that healing power that Peter called on? Peter's inspired response, Holy Spirit-inspired response, ably changes the focus of this question from power to the reality of healing. This is what's at the heart of the question. A man was healed, restored to full life, to God's shalom. Peter asks the authorities, shouldn't protocol take a back seat to celebrating? A lame man has been healed. He's dancing. Shouldn't we? You see, Peter and John were faithful Jews just like the temple leadership, just like Jesus was a faithful Jew. What they were doing, what Peter was doing, was demonstrating the power of the one God of Israel at work through the name of Jesus. Peter's message to the church leaders then is the same message to us today. At the center of the gospel message is Jesus' power to heal. Here we are, three Sundays after Easter. This season, Chris is wearing the right color stole. I'm not. We're in Eastertide. This is a white season. We, like Peter, ought to be witnessing to the power of resurrection. We, like Peter, ought to be testifying about the places where we've experienced new life. As Mark Davis notes, the name of Jesus isn't some magical incantation. It's the power of making broken lives whole. This is the grand reversal of the resurrection. The rejected stone is now the cornerstone. Jesus was human. He experienced pain and suffering firsthand. Jesus responded to human suffering, teaching and healing, and even dying a painful human death. But that death wasn't the end of the story because God raised Jesus. The path that Jesus walked from rejection to restoration through death and into new life gives hope to all of us who are broken and in need of being made whole. You and I know what it means to be human, to suffer. Sometimes our bodies fail us. Despite rigorous training, our legs don't enable us to win that race. The building blocks of life, those small cells within us, multiply too quickly and become malignant. Hearts grow weak. Eyes sometimes fail. We also suffer spiritually. Try as we might, recovery remains just out of reach. We are separated from those we have loved by decision or distance or death. And our hearts are broken. Our thoughts and ideas, once lofty and hopeful, can spiral downward into the darkness of dead ends, failure, and sometimes even depression. I imagine that each and every one of you has suffered in one way or another. We're human, and part of being human is knowing pain. Jesus was a human being who suffered human pain. Jesus was also a human being who reached into human pain and brokenness to offer hope and healing. He touched lepers and made them clean. He ate with outcasts and connected them to community. He invited strangers to sit down and dine with him and to dine with one another. He died so that we might have new life. This morning's story is important. What Peter is affirming by his words and his actions is the power of the risen Christ. Jesus, the human being, may no longer be present, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is here, offering us all hope, offering hope to all people. Those of us who bear the name Christian also bear witness to the fact that there is power in that name. The power in Jesus' name is the power of healing, wholeness, and new life. It's the promise of God's shalom. This is an essential message for our broken world. I'd like to read you a poem by Victoria Weinstein. It's called Being the Resurrection, and I'm going to have Brian put it up there so that if you want to read it along while I read. The stone has got to be rolled back from the tomb again and again every year. Roll up your sleeves. He is not coming back, you know. He's not coming back unless it is we who rise for him, we who lay healing hands on the reviled and rejected like he did on his behalf, we who rage for righteousness in his insistent voice, we who love the sinner, even knowing that the sinner is no farther off than our own heartbeat. He will not be back to join us at the table, to share God's extravagant banquet, God's love feast. All are invited, come as you are. And so it is you and I who must feast for him, must say the grace and break the bread and pass it to the left, and dish up the broiled fish or pour the wine and pass it to the right, and treat each one so tenderly as though just this morning he or she made the personal effort to make it back from heaven or from hell, but certainly from death, to be by our side. Because if by some miracle, and why not a miracle, he did come back, wouldn't he want to see us like this? Wouldn't it be a miracle to live for just one day so that if he did, by some amazing feat, come riding into town, he could take a look around and say, this is what I meant. And we could say, it took us a long time, but we finally figured it out. Oh, let us live to make it so. You are the resurrection and the life. My friends, it's all in the name. We are Christians. We are those people who have been called and claimed and named by God. We are resurrection people. Let us witness to the resurrection, the hope and healing in our midst, the hope and the healing that God intends for all people. Let it be so. Amen.
Let us stand as we are able and unite in saying what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
At this point, I'd like to ask Edward Lee to come up to share with us a great opportunity for him.
Hello, everybody. So ever since I was as a young kid, I've always been taught to give. And not to give back, but just to give. Pay it forward, you might say. I've been taught this by my parents, by the people around me in my church, and I've read in the readings in the Bible. I've been taught to give back to my family, to my friends, to my community, and even to people that I don't know yet. And so I kind of wish that this would kind of become a habit a little more quickly, but it just turns out that good habits are a lot harder to make than bad ones. But that being said, in my spiritual maturation and growth, I feel God's challenged me to go out to places where I might not be the most comfortable, and use the abilities he's given me to further his kingdom. So it follows then that I'm really, really excited to be going on a month-long missions trip to the island of Hispaniola, along with 11 other InterVarsity students this summer. And just for a little bit of clarification, Hispaniola, the island is occupied by two countries, Haiti and the Dominican Republic. So the overarching goal of this trip is to help repair the tattered relationship between Dominicans and Haitians that has really hindered the island's progress for the past couple of centuries. The point of the trip is to give Dominicans and Haitians something to really unite under the gospel of Jesus. And so for the first week, I'll be working at the University of Santo Domingo, which is in the capital. I'll be working with college students there in their fellowship to minister to students around my age, and specifically reaching out to Haitian students that attend the university. And so the university is actually over 100,000 students strong, which is a lot of people for a university, so it should be ample opportunity to do good work in the community there. So after that first week, most of the remaining time we'll be spending in the sugarcane fields of La Romana, which is an impoverished Haitian town in the Dominican Republic. And so there we'll be sharing the message of the gospel, and we'll be participating in community rebuilding work, as a lot of the communities in both countries, in fact, are still trying to stand on their own two feet after the earthquake several years ago. So after that, we'll have kind of a brief recap of the trip back in Santo Domingo, and we'll be returning to the States at the end of June. So throughout this time, I'll just ask for your prayers and for your support, and I'd be very grateful for that. Thank you.
So it was brought to the session's attention that Edward needed some funding for this, and on behalf of the session and the church, Edward, I'd like to present to you this IOU because we didn't get a check in time.
The money is coming from the Sadie Seaton Fund. I think Sadie would be very proud to know that this money was being used in her name.
This time we respond to God's word, giving our tithes and offerings.